Good evening, this is Dykes on Mic, 7:03, and it's pouring rain. Some of us here, well, Joanne and I came on our bikes, so we're drenched. Zab, our resident graphic artist, who we're going to talk to tonight, is not wet, but for undisclosed reasons. Also, we're going to talk to Monica later on in the show about starting a rugby or volleyball team, and if those two sports seem incongruous, then, well, we'll just ask her why rugby and volleyball. Rugby for the summer, volleyball for the winter, perhaps? Before we launch into the interview with Zab, there's a few announcements, and this is something that, well, I'm sure you're familiar with, because I've mentioned it several times now over the past couple of months. It's the Lesbian Home Video Contest at Image et Nation, the Lesbian and Gay Film and Video Festival. And that festival runs from November 12th to the 29th. And what the gals thought would be fun was if they had a home video section, just a little contest, one evening of your home video. And the duration is 5 minutes maximum. The format is VHS. And it could be anything, anything at all. They're taking anything. Apparently, though, it hasn't gone over that well. Not too many women have submitted. So they would really like to see a few more fun videos. And this is again, you know, it's just like a little section that that is going to be called Home Video Section. And, well, it might be fun. Anyhow, it's an attempt to demystify the whole thing. So if you're interested, well, you've got another 10 days or so, but you can call 521-5740. And, oh, yes. Well, I just read this today, this afternoon, in Deneuve Magazine, which is a lesbian magazine out of San Francisco, which I haven't, well, I've only seen it a couple of times, and I guess it's newish.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've seen it, Zab.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's pretty styly, but it's... Yeah.
It's well. It's got an interesting
it's
middle section.
White. No, it's well.
Well, the lesbo.
It was okay.
Okay, you're not wild about it, eh? No.
No.
Well, what caught my eye was this section, in the center that just had a whole bunch of media things on Dykes. You know, which is interesting to flip through. And anyhow, one of the items I read this afternoon was that CJ of LA Law is no more.
Yeah, I heard that. She's not coming back this season.
So she ended up last season kissing a blind man. Did you see that one?
Yeah. I saw it last week.
Yeah, and that's how it ended, and then CJ's gone. Jesus. Anyways, what I was going to say about Deneuve Magazine as well was that the cover of it is about, they're calling it Baby Dykes. So it's about young dykes, the experience of being a teenage dyke. And also in another magazine I flipped through, apparently there was something called Europride that took place in London this summer. 60,000 to 85,000 fags and dykes gathered in celebration. There was a big parade, and there was also a big party in a park in London somewhere. You didn't?
They got a lot of big parks there.
They do, eh? Well,
yeah.
This would have been a very big park. And also, there, I've just gotten word, just just half an hour ago about, well, for those of you who saw A League of Their Own, you will know that it's about the All-American Girls Baseball League, or Soft Baseball League, I think they called it. Took place during the war and after the war, right till 52 or 54, something like that. It lasted for about 11 years. And, well, once it was over, that was it. It seemed relegated to, well, anyways, it wasn't anywhere to be found in the annals of baseball history until fairly recently, where Lois Brown, a Canadian journalist, has recently compiled a book called The Girls of Summer, and it's about that league, which is fairly interesting. And Zab here tells me that there are baseball cards, all American girls baseball cards, which I believe you have in your possession, don't you?
Yeah, I have the blue set.
The blue set.
There's four different sets.
So what's the difference between the sets?
Well, it's some are sort of more catchers and outfielders, and others are more like the hitters. I don't know baseball really well, but it seemed that they kind of divided them by types of players.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But the nice thing about them is that you don't have to like collect cards and collect them to get the whole series. You buy a full series. But they're like a lot of money, eh? They're $15 for 20 cards.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oops, that's not.
Yeah, they're like I don't know, serious memorabilia.
And they came 5 years ago. You figure they were manufactured.
Yeah, I think it was like 83. I mean, like quite a while ago, 83, 84.
And do you know who it was that introduced them?
A woman that lives in Michigan, because all those leagues were sort of, you know, like Michigan, Indiana,
Illinois,
yeah. And they have the records of the, you know, like your batting average and you know, how many runs, home runs per season. They have all that compiled on the back, just like, you know, sort of boys' baseball cards. But they're really cool. Like, they're these beautiful black and white images of these women, right? You know, playing ball. And some of them are, like, touched up a little too much, right? They sort of got the airbrush in there and got rid of their zits or whatever.
And rouged up their cheeks. And
yeah, but some of them were really hot. Like, you got to see them.
Bring them in.
We should put them on display somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll let you know. $15 a pop, though. But they're black and white
US.
Photographs. U.S.
Yeah, black and white photographs with... And the blue series has a blue trim, and the red series has a red trim. I mean, yeah, they're pretty cool.
Who would have thought? This is a perfect segue into our discussion of printed matter, or, as that puts it...
Print matters.
Or print that matters, isn't that
I don't know.
Print that matters. You do something just like that, don't you?
Yeah.
Graphic design.
Yes.
And the first question right off the top is, what is it? What is it? It's all kind of mysterious. As you were saying before, it often gets mixed up with desktop publishing, and there's kind of this thing that...
Yeah, well, basically, I mean, anything that's printed generally goes through a designer. And that sounds just like desktop publishing. It's not what
I'm But what is
say.
It?
Well, basically, you work with, you know, someone who, or yourself. You know, you have an idea that you want to communicate, and design is presenting it in an accessible way for people to get the message clearly. And you know, you use images or not, and
text sometimes or not.
Yeah, and it's so there's that element. There's the actual, you know, choosing the. Coming up with a concept to represent it and choosing the type style, and often you're limited by your client as to, well, you're not limited, but you know, they tell you, hi, this is a one color job, or this is a four color process job, which is like, well, I won't get technical, but
not
you know, how many colors and how big their budget is, so you have to figure out, you know, what the best way of doing it is. So it's fun, because there's the idea part, and then there's the sort of actually the craft part of putting it together. Not so much now with computers, but whatever, it's still there. And then there's just the organizing part, like, you know, getting the quotes from the printers and overseeing the printing stuff, because a lot of things can get muddled by a printer.
So does it generally happen that people come to you with an idea in mind that they want you to put a visual to, or do they sometimes have a visual that they just want you to create for them?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, they'll come with, they say, okay, we want to use this photograph and we want to do a brochure or something with an order form. So those are pretty, you know, straightforward, not too exciting jobs.
Rather like
others. Rather like that one.
Yes. I have here Informed Bodies, a women's health collection, and actually I was going to announce it later on, but I suppose this is
That's kind of nice type, though.
Yeah. Like, yeah, but this is something, it's a brochure, and it's got eight titles of films made by the NFB, and actually they're on sale, but it's about women, reproductive technology, women with disabilities, recovery series about women recovering from drugs,
alcohol. Well, it's not just women, it's like, I just did the poster for that.
Oh, you did the poster for this one, too,
it's like
Toward Intimacy.
Sexuality, self-esteem, and relationship in the lives of women with disabilities. That's a real good one, actually.
Okay.
But as you can see, like, you don't always get the chance to every time it's in a brochure, to make it, you know, visually. I mean, sometimes there's so much text that you just have to treat the text and make it as legible as possible and you know, pull out the headlines so that there's some kind of order to it. So those are pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the main premise of this is to get information across, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the use of computers, before and after a computer, how did that change? How did that revolutionize the...
Well, it revolutionized it only in terms of the production. After you have your idea and after you have, you know what you want to do, it helps you get it done sort of efficiently and precisely and quickly.
Does computers eliminate drawing? Do you draw on the computer?
No, I never draw on the computer.
Oh, really?
I don't like... Well, I just have... the kind of drawing that I do is usually like a lino cut or a very rough sketch kind of thing, or else I do sort of collage stuff from existing images, right? Like, you know, you tear them up and you blow them up and you do
glue
all this
them.
Stuff to them. You could do that on it. And I mean, you could do it on a computer, but to me it makes more sense to do it by hand. It's more fun and doesn't take up a lot of memory. And
mm-hmm. So what do you do on the computer?
All the typesetting.
Okay.
And, you know, it's really good if you're doing like the CUSA handbook or something. Like, all the typesetting for that was done on the computer, and the color separation. And
uh-huh. Well, what did you study this summer?
Yeah, I did degree. What's it called? Bachelor of Design in Visual Communication Design.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Does it have an acronym, or does one have to say that?
BDES, Bachelor of Design, and then. BC, Visual Communication Design.
Where did you do that?
Nova Scotia College of Art and Design.
That one. I've heard of that one.
Halifax. Yeah.
When did you do that?
I went in 83 and graduated 87 and then came back here 88.
And did that then, was that when you started thinking that maybe going into business for yourself would
well,
maybe
I came
be an
back,
idea?
Well, I wanted to, like, there's all kinds of things you can specialize in graphic design, right? Like, you can do only book design, or you can do only, I mean, like, the limits are what you set on yourself kind of thing. I knew that I wanted to do cultural and community-based work. I didn't want to do corporate work or advertising, and I didn't want to work at a big firm. So, yeah, I didn't plan to start my own business, that's for sure.
Oh, no.
No.
How did it start?
Well, I came back here, and there were three places that I wanted to work, and I went down and had interviews and gave them my CV and stuff, and they liked my work, but no one had like a full-time job, right? It's like 88, and then it wasn't like tons of work here. Well, at those three places, I mean.
At your favorite
yeah.
three places.
So then I just started getting like freelance work. I started running into people, you know, that I'd gone to stage up with or whatever, and they're like, oh, well, I have something you can do, or, you know. So I started like taking on these small jobs. And then I got it. I did this thing for my old stage at Marinopolis, and they paid me, they wrote the check to Zab Design. Which, you know, it's cool. So I went to the bank and they said, sorry, you can't cash this. Like, they said, this does not exist. It has to be in your name. And I'm like, oh, fuck. So, excuse me. Are we allowed to say that?
Yes, you're allowed
to
say
that. Oh, right on.
If it's in context.
Yeah.
In context.
So they told me, the people at the bank were real nice. And they told me, like, how to register as a business. And no one had the name, so it was not a problem.
And God, yeah.
So, like, it took 3 days. Like, I had to register it and then bring it back to the bank and then, you know, cash it. I didn't have any cash like the hell did I? Something like that nice. But yeah, that's how it happened. Yeah.
And so once you were registered as a business, you were registered then not incorporated.
I'm not incorporated.
Not incorporated. Okay. So you registered as a business and then they cashed your check.
Yeah.
And then you were away. Zab Design was happening.
Yeah, then Zab Design was fully happening.
May I ask, what was the amount of that very first Zab Design check?
Oh, probably about like $180. Like, just like nothing, just like my food, you know? Yeah, I had like, yeah, I had no money initially.
Well, okay, so what happens next? Now, once you've discovered that you've just, you know, you've registered yourself as a company, and did that change anything? I mean, did you figure that, okay, this is a possibility then?
Well, yeah, kind of. But then I got a freelance contract at the Film Board. In there, they have a design studio in-house, and I, you know, got 2 weeks here and 2 weeks there, and so that was fun. And then I still did work in the evening that I got on the side through the SAV design thing. And then I got a studio.
When did that happen then? I mean, how many years down the road did the studio happen?
2 months after I registered. No, it's all like, you know, there? Timing, right? It's totally, like, part of it is, yeah, like 80% of it is luck, the way the timing just fell into place. There's space available, and it was really cheap, and it was sharing with a bunch of people that I liked who did similar stuff.
Wow, and you needed a space?
Well, yeah, it was getting pretty cramped in my room. You know, me and my date and my drafting table and, you know, in a very small space. Yeah, it was cramped. Clients coming over, like, yeah, it was pretty.
Did the studio save your relationship?
Yeah, probably. For a while, anyway. Yeah.
So your studio, is that the same studio space you still have now? No.
No.
You have moved on.
Yeah, same people, but, well, with more people. It's a larger space, so there's more of us sharing it.
Mm-hmm. And how does that work out for you to share the space?
Well, yeah, it's really fun. Like, because you're not working entirely by yourself in a room, you know, with a window. You have, like, this huge space with, I mean, there's a lot of activity. You have to really focus. But but it's nice because, you know, if you're really into your work, you just focus and do it and, you know, no one bothers you. But if you want feedback or whatever, there's lots of people that you can sort of run things by and get their opinions and.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. And they're not all like graphic designers. Some of them are architects, and there's a couple of painters and a sculptor.
It's good to probably, you know, get a bit of feedback from people who aren't doing exactly what you're doing either.
It's really interesting, and I'm, you know, I get to learn about other things.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll go to a musical break, and we'll be right back. We're back. This is Dykes on Mike, CKUT 90.3 FM. And we're talking to Zab about graphic design, being a graphic designer, and starting one's own business. Also, what we're about to launch into is just being your own boss and being out as a dyke, all that fun dyke stuff in your own studio.
Yeah.
What happens? What kind of stuff can you do?
Well, it's cool because I never have to worry about being out at work. Because
yeah.
Like, the people that share my studio, I mean, they're all straight now that I think of it.
Oh, really?
Well, one, oh, I don't know, I won't say that on the air. But anyway, one's questionable. But it's cool because a lot of my work involves lesbian and gay stuff, right? Like
yeah.
Right now, I'm doing La Ville en Rose, the Lesbian and Gay Studies Conference thing. And this is a big poster, right? So I have this like huge mock-up, right, with all these words like queer, lesbo, serin, like all these sort of supposedly derogatory words like that mean gay or lesbian. And it's just like huge. And so all these like suppliers, right, like the people selling, for lack of a better example, the carpeting to the architects, right? Like those guys, these like, you know, in their suits, all the suits come in and have to check out this stuff. And it's just fun. Like I just, you know.
And the others in the studio are quite, that's cool with them. That's fine with them.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, everybody does. You know, like, people who have dogs bring their dogs. People who have kids bring their kids.
People who are lesbians comes lesbians.
Yeah, people who are lesbians bring their date, you know. Like, yeah, my date always works on my computer.
Oh, that's nice.
To do our school stuff.
Sharing your space.
Sure.
Well, what kind of projects do you take on? What kinds of things have you done?
Well,
just a brief summary, I suppose.
I guess the most stuff, the most consistent client that I have is Studio D of the National Film Board of Canada.
Mm.
So that's, you know, usually interesting work. I get to screen the film once or twice or three times, depending on how quickly I can think of an idea, and do that kind of thing. And then I do stuff for various women's groups in the city, and I've done. Just one so far. Book jacket for
Guinergy.
Sorry, I always like
I think it
read
is.
It wrong. Guinergy Books in Charlottetown,
right on.
PEI. And I've done like CDs and cassettes for musicians based here and one who's based in Ottawa. Two who are based here, yeah. And for the moment in Halifax, I did that.
And, pretty diverse.
And I've done exhibition work. When the film board had their 50th anniversary, mm-hmm. I did a historical thing, a historical exhibition, going through all their archives and pulling out stuff, working with the archivist there. So that was kind of fun. Yeah, it's pretty varied. And then like I do T-shirts for like the Concordia Women's Collective. I've done a lot of shirts for Shauna Dempsey. We're talking Valva. I did a shirt for her for Imagination, the Lesbian and Gay Film and Video Festival. Done a bunch of stuff for them.
Was that you last year on the cover? I mean, not you, but your design?
My feet were on the cover,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
True, yes, your feet were
on
the
cover. It was all parts of all different bodies. Yeah.
Are you doing it this year, too?
I'm doing the catalog this year. It goes boy, girl, boy, girl, for okay. Who does the cover and who does the inside.
Oh, that's okay. That's
civilized.
Right.
Yeah. Fair.
And Concordia is also another client, isn't it?
Yep. Pretty well, regular. The Students Association of Concordia.
2 years in a row, the handbook, eh?
Yep.
Not bad.
Student handbook and
mm-hmm.
agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What, how... Well, actually, I've got here, like, as an example, say, the Concordia Handbook. How long would it take from start to finish? I guess that must really depend on the project, though, eh?
It totally depends on the project.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like, 240 pages. The text didn't all come in at once. So, I mean, it was, I started working on it probably, let's see, I went to the press first week of July, started working on it middle of May. Well, yeah, I guess, yeah. I did some preliminary work in April just to sort of get quotes and see how we could design it, whether, like, we got a really good quote, eh? We printed it two colors all the way through, whereas last year only, like, 40 pages had two color. And, but the actual, yeah, I mean, the design takes about, I don't know, you kind of do it as you go along. The whole 6 weeks, you know, 6 weeks production time. Designing, mm-hmm. It was pretty tight timing, though, because all the proof, the final proofing and stuff was being done as we pulled off the galley, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty stressful, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And at any given time, well, actually, let's just use this given time. How many products do you have on the go now?
Oh, too many.
Yeah.
I don't know which ones to count as projects. Okay, doing the, you know, the catalog for the Ville en Rose and catalog for Imagination, the poster for Ville en Rose, and doing, well, like, my friend's mom is an artist.
And she?
Often she uses type with her work, and she comes to me for, like, consultation, and you know, I just show her, I can show her stuff quickly. I can just, you know, typeset real fast on the Mac and put over the image so she can get a sense of what she wants. So, you know, doing, like, little stuff like that. What else? Oh, I'm doing this, it's a con, yeah, my friend is launching this, it's an amulet. He's a jeweler, and he's designed this really nice piece of jewelry that has a pouch in it. It's really small, but it holds, like, two condoms, so it's like this safer sex amulet.
Jewelry.
Yeah, so I'm doing, like, everything. I'm doing the packaging, I'm doing the print ads, I'm doing the you know, the letterhead, cool. Like, everything for this new thing.
Well, do you ever say no to something, Zab?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah, which, yeah. Like...
Well, stuff that I don't agree with.
Yeah.
You know, like, wow, now I'm getting all tongue, like...
Well, okay, let me rephrase.
If I don't agree with what they're trying to say, I'm not going to help them say it, that's for sure.
And that, you know, does,
like,
sometimes happen.
That's why I do mostly stuff, like, women's issues, like, feminist stuff and lesbian and gay stuff, and...
You can get into it, yeah.
Stuff that I enjoy doing, because, you know, at the end of the day, I do a better job because it's more fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, I really put my heart into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, yeah.
Did you, I guess, and you know, like, when you're starting off, did you sort of find yourself sometimes doing stuff you weren't too keen on doing particularly, but that it was probably a good career move to do it?
Well, I did some stuff I wasn't keen on, but nothing that was sort of harmful to my ethics.
Right.
I did, you know, like, a flyer for a furniture, like, place. Like, yeah, I was working. I didn't get the job. There's this woman who's a jobber, and a jobber is someone who is like a marketing chick, and she goes around and says, "Hi, you need this. I can do it for you for this much money." And then she goes to a struggling young designer and says, "Hi, you can do this for me for this little amount of money, and I need it tomorrow." So, but I mean, when I first got my studio, I did stuff. But then she wanted me to do this, like, it was for Molson's, like, and it was like this woman in a bikini, and it was a poster for some contest for win a trip to the tropics or something. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, like, don't even consider me to do that one. Oh, this is like, you know, fuck off, I'm not doing that.
Huh, and she didn't.
No.
Political social responsibility, how does that fit into your work, that all integrity... thing. I mean, this is, you know.
You're dealing with stuff that gets printed, you know, by the thousands. I mean, sometimes not, sometimes just by the hundreds. But often, you know, the stuff is getting out there, and you have to be really conscious of how you're representing things. You know, like, I was just telling that guy, the station guy, you know, like, it's like the Lesbian and Gay Film Video Festival. You can't use one image of, well, you can. It's been done all the time, but it's not necessarily representing what it should be when you use one image to represent everyone, mm-hmm. kind of thing. So you have to, you know, constantly be thinking about what you're putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Which
and be fair, you know? Like, there's probably, like, an over-representation. Well, no, actually, that's not even true. Yeah, no, I'm taking that.
You're taking it back.
Yeah, well, because on the cover of the student handbook and agenda, there's a picture of these two women, and they happen to be dykes, right? And there's no other, like, people on the cover.
That's right, I noticed that. Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, they're students. And then there's drawings by a guy, right? And then there's a photograph. I mean, come on. It was even.
nonetheless, the idea that...
But even for that, you know, like all the like, in each section of the handbook, there's like 11 different sections, and each section was illustrated by a different student,
mm-hmm.
so that the look changes for each section.
Mm-hmm.
And even in something like that, you know, you don't just, like, ask your 11 closest friends. You ask who happen to be Concordia students. You know, you have to get a real good sample of who the students are. You know, like, even straight men, right? Like, we had a couple of straight men doing stuff.
Imagine
straight white men, yeah. And then we had, yeah, I know, you know, you've got to, you have to be,
well, the thing
if
is,
you want to change stuff, you got to.
And your name is attached to this work,
exactly.
After all, and as you're saying, you know, printed out by the thousands, printed out by the hundreds, whatever, your name's attached to stuff, and
mm-hmm.
I'm sure that absolutely, there's, you've got to like it, and you've got to like what it's saying, and what it says about you, and...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That must be a bit tough sometimes, or is it? tough role, just to feel that balance. Sometimes maybe it's less clear.
Sometimes
well, like the political correct thing, say, for the Lesbian and Gay Festival, or at last year's design, incidentally, you know, the chopped up bodies.
Yeah.
I thought that was really neat, and I think a lot of people did too, just because it was pretty diverse, right? There was a lot of varied body parts there belonging to different people, and so that's the idea, but I'm...
Well, yeah, it's hard to... Well, creatively, you mean?
Creatively,
yeah, yeah. Well, that just happened, actually.
Yeah.
What, for that inform... No, Toward Intimacy, that film about women with disabilities, because... Not women with disabilities, I just, like, said the same thing you did. Sexuality, self-esteem, and love and lives of women with disabilities. So, you know, like, I was thinking, like, how to represent this. And then in the end, instead of going for some really heady, like, you know, like, juxtaposition, I just did, like, this quite, like, expressive drawing. It sounds really bad.
It's, well, just carry
like,
on.
It's a really loose style of a drawing of a heart. And, okay, like, it sounds terrible. You have to see it for your own self. But, you know, it worked. And the thing is, you don't... Like, you can't go too overboard. Like, it was totally appropriate in that instance not to have any, like, you know, wheelchair accessible symbol on this thing, because, like, that's not the point of the film. The point of the film is about relationships and the image of the heart with these things coming out of it, and the movement of that was much truer to what the film was about than, you know, some dumb, like, socially constructed symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there aren't enough symbols that represent all the different aspects of differently abled people, you know?
Which is where the creativity comes in, the sensitivity as well.
Yeah.
Integrity, all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine you that probably is part of your reputation, you know?
What reputation?
Well, I mean, if you obviously have got a you know, a client base, and... All I'm saying, Zab, is that you probably have a pretty good reputation, you know? Well, you're doing really well, and you're doing what you want to do, and there's, you know, women and gay and lesbian groups, etc., you know? Like, you design a lot for them, so they obviously feel that, you know, you can...
Yeah, well, some of it's free.
Oh.
It's not all, like...
Oh, yeah, well, even so.
Yeah, like, you gotta suit the budget, right? And sometimes... You know, it's important that the message gets out and whatever. Like, that's the other thing, too, right? Like, it doesn't have to cost a lot to communicate efficiently. Like, there's all kinds of ways. You don't have to do, like, a really glossy, you know, like, seven-color job to get an idea across. You can do, like, a blueprint or a 11x17 photocopy. As long as there's, you know, as long as it's clear and the information is there, and people are drawn to it, and, you know, you pull up the right things, and it's no problem.
Mm-hmm. You showed in a gallery, or you had two shows in a gallery, didn't you? Recently, or a couple months ago.
Yeah, I had showed at Stornoway here in Montreal, and at NASCAD at the Anna Leon's Gallery there.
And
that was a while ago. That was October last year.
Wow. It's a bit unusual, though, isn't it, to have...
Design work in a gallery.
In a gallery?
Yeah, that was very... Well, it was weird. I didn't finish the... The show was called Show and Tell, and there's two levels of that gallery, and the top level I was going to have the show, and the bottom level I was going to have the tell, and that was going to be like a slideshow and sort of about what design is, like, yeah, I'm losing my, like, ability to communicate. Yeah, so, you know, like, all the stuff that, unless you're really into design, you don't think about necessarily, because basically everything, like... Most things that you touch in a day are designed, from your milk carton to your newspaper to your clothing to your books at school or you know, ads you look at in the metro. Like, everything is designed, and it's how you... I don't know what I was going to talk about.
Well, you were talking about the show and then the tell part.
Yeah, the show and tell part. So I didn't get to do the tell part because it didn't happen.
But the show part, how did that go over?
Yeah, well, it was sort of... it was weird because all the work was out of context. It wasn't...
So was it, what, up on the wall?
Yeah. Yeah, it was up on the wall. Well, no, the brochures you could pick up and stuff, and the video jackets you could pick up. And
it must have been interesting for you, though, just in terms of, like, a perspective of, in this room, all this stuff that you'd done.
Yeah.
People came to see it and had a party.
Yeah, like it's like a weird ego boost. I mean, yeah. I wasn't having a good day that day. I didn't really... I wasn't all there, but... But yeah, no, it was It was a party.
On the whole, though, that's
in
not...
In the whole tradition of the Stornoway Gallery openings, it was a party, yeah.
Although it's not exactly your bag to have it in a gallery.
Well, it's just unusual. Mm-hmm. I mean, the stuff is, you know, a lot of it is like here today, gone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a really good piece that you want to put in your kitchen or something.
Mm-hmm. Or wearing a t-shirt.
Yeah, the t-shirt stuff is always around. And the book stuff is around.
Yeah. And I'm keeping my agendas from Concordia.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're sort of book-like, aren't they?
They're book-like. They're informative, too. Yeah.
Yeah, they're fun.
Mm-hmm. Zap, I think we're going to go to musical break and... we're going to go to a musical break.
Shoo-be-doo-wee, oh Lord, listen to me. Shoo-be-doo-wee-doo-wah, yeah, now. Shoo-be-doo-wee, oh Lord, I hear you sing. Shoo-be-doo-wee-doo-wah, yeah, now. The time has come again. When no more will I stand. All these past negotiations. No. With black cards in our hands. I stand like we used to stand. I shake my blind with a mock demonstration. Because discrimination. And you and me, oh, I said we're caught between a rock and a hard place. Yeah, between a rock and a hard place, sister. Yeah, between a rock and a hard place. Caught between a rock and a hard place, brother. Oh, sing it with me, shoo-be-doo-wee. Marcus and Malcolm, be shocked to see where we've come. Not far enough for all of time passing. No. We had put our fall to low on the major notes in our soul. Come join the chorus to bring back the power. Because it's scream on nation. Hey, I said, and oppression, Lord, and listen to me. No black woman rest, no. We know what society and you and me. Oh, don't you know that we're caught between a rock and a hard place? Yeah, between a rock. A sister caught between a rock and a hard place. Yeah, between a rock and a hard place. A brother, oh, sing it with me. Shoo-be-doo-wee, oh Lord, I got to sing. Shoo-be-doo-be-doo-wah, hard place. Shoo-be-doo-wee, oh, sing it. Shoo-be-doo-be-doo-wah.
p.m. Fridays on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Lydia.
It's your turn. But now you do now.
We're back, and before the cart, we heard For the Moment.
From Halifax.
Is she not good, that Joanne? Is she not good?
Excellent.
For the Moment is, well, Zab mentioned that she had done some design for the gals in Halifax.
Yeah, back in the days when they did albums and not CDs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's an album. That was an album and a cassette.
Wow. Yeah. Last question for you, Zab.
Yeah.
Well, more of a observation, I suppose. No, observation, I believe the word is.
Observation.
Observation, yeah. Making a living. Are you making a living?
Yeah.
Yeah? That's good.
Yeah.
Well, during the break here, Zab was going on about the taxes and collecting GST and the PST and
paying city taxes. And then you have to pay city tax on top of it, like, as if they do anything for it. I mean, I'm sorry, but that it's the tax part is the low end of it, and you know, doing work that you like is the high end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And overall, it's fine. And yeah, I mean, I make enough totally to get by, you know, now, not initially, but now. Well, initially, I mean, you just get a credit card to get you through those awful times, and then like, no, it's true. You have to establish credit really on, or you're just, you know, you can't get your typesetting from your suppliers. You can't get.
Wow.
There's all kinds of stuff. Yeah. So yeah.
So yeah, there. The long and short of it is that you are making a living. That's I like a success story. I think that's great that you can do what you want and make a living.
Yeah.
And take a few trips too.
Yeah, business trips.
Business trips, of course, but trips business. Nonetheless.
Yeah.
Thank you, Zab. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Well, that's it. Zab's up and out. And Monica will have a sit right down. And hi.
Hi.
Geez, usually between interviews, we would go to a musical break just so that there's a smoother segue. But because we had to, you know, wrap up with Zab and say bye and stuff.
It's okay.
Last week, I did announce that you wanted to start a rugby or a volleyball team.
Yeah, actually it's becoming, well, it's more officially on a rugby team, but we're also going to play volleyball. Okay, because I learned that